Today we conclude this series that we have been working our way through, this whatever series. And I want to do one thing this morning. I want to try to answer this particular question. How can you rejoice when it seems like you're losing? I would say that you cannot unless you're actually living the whatever life. So when the world says, whatever, it means nothing really matters. But when a Christian says, whatever, we are saying that everything matters. Whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we think, all comes under the lordship of Jesus Christ. When we began to follow Jesus, He began to change us. He began a work inside of us that's not dependent upon what's going on around us. That is why, write this down, the whatever life is consistent no matter what. And one evidence of this consistency is the capacity of the person that is wearing the Jesus jersey to rejoice whatever the score may be. Because whatever people are not if only people, they are even if people. They're not the kind of people that say, if only I get a better job, if only my marriage improves, or if only the cancer goes into remission, then I can rejoice. They are the kind of people that say, even if the company downsizes, even if the spouse walks away, even if the cancer does come back, I know who I am and I know what I'm about and I will rejoice. They're like that because their pursuit of happiness is not dependent of happenings. In the Arctic, there are these giant icebergs that confuse people because often they'll see them flowing against a very strong wind. But if you could look beneath the water, you would understand that 9/10 of that berg of ice is below the surface and it's being pulled along by very strong currents that are underneath the surface. And that allows that iceberg to flow against very strong winds. And that is how whatever people live. They're carried along by something that is deep, and it's internal, and it's eternal. It allows them to go against the winds of culture, against the flow of society. They live the whatever life, and nobody did that better than Jesus. And after Jesus, perhaps nobody did that better than the Apostle Paul. We paused our study of the book of Philippians to enter into this series on whatever. And we're going to pick that up, by the way, next week. But we learned in that study of Philippians that Paul wrote that letter from jail. He was illegally arrested. He was the survivor of a shipwreck and stood in one court after the other. And he has been sent now to Rome, where he's lived through this shipwreck, been misrepresented, and he doesn't even have a clue if he's going to be brought to court or actually set free or executed. But 19 times in this little letter of Philippians, Paul mentions joy, gladness, or rejoicing. And in the text that Doran read at the beginning of the service, my very favorite part is verse 18, which is a little teeny verse. Verse 18, the first part of it, but what does it matter? Five words in English, and in the original language in Greek, it's just two words, T-gar. Say that after me, T-gar. Basically, you can translate T-gar with the words, so what? Which is one thing when a teenager says it, but it's something very different when the Apostle Paul says it. Paul is saying, I am carried along by this deep conviction that transcends whatever happens. And let me share with you what that conviction is. It starts like this. Life is hard. The great theologian Charles Schulz, in his comic strip Peanuts, shared a conversation between Lucy and Charlie Brown. And Lucy was telling Charlie Brown that life was like a deck chair on a cruise ship. Some people place their chair so that they can see where they're headed. Other people place their chair so they can see where they've been. But still others place their chair on the deck of a cruise ship so they can see right where they are at the moment. And Charlie Brown said, I can't even get mine unfolded. And people think in their mind, if I do life right, then I'll get the right life. And Christians especially believe, if I follow all the rules about what God tells me to do, then God is obligated to give me a life that doesn't have a lot of problems. And people like that have not been reading their Bibles. Jesus said in the latter part of verse 34 in Matthew 6, each day has enough trouble of its own. Can I get an amen on that? How about this? John 16:33. In this world you will have trouble. Because hard is normal. Now I want to clarify, sinning will make life even harder. Living in rebellion to God will make a hard life harder. But hard is normal. Paul understands that. And when he said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, brothers, I want you to know what has happened to me. That word happened and our word happiness come from the same English root, hap, and it means chance, and explains the philosophy that a lot of people embrace, that if the right things happen to happen, then I'll be happy. But if the right happenings don't happen to happen, how can I be happy? So what you've done with that philosophy is you have forfeited your control over your own attitude. Because you are not in control of all things that are going to happen in life. But Paul understands that happenings happen to everybody. They don't all happen to be good. They don't all happen to be fair. But his source of happiness does not depend on the way that most people actually keep score. Paul's joy is not contingent on the absence of crisis. It is contingent on the presence of Christ. Paul is obsessed with Jesus. He said, I am in chains for Christ. He cares that just Christ is preached. He knows that to live is Christ. Life is hard. And Paul is not shocked by that fact. Hard is normal. But so what? You see, because Jesus is Lord. Paul doesn't see himself as a man in prison, as he sees himself much more as a man in Christ. And consequently, he believed that whatever he was going through could be an opportunity to display Christ for those who were willing to look at it. That is because his life was about Jesus, and you could not put him in a situation where he could not make much of Jesus. You might recognize this life is good motto that was popularized by the $100 million t-shirt company of the same motto. The founders of that business, Bert and John Jacobs, tell the story behind this motto in the book that they wrote by the same title. They were the youngest of six kids. They grew up in a lower middle class family in Boston. Their parents were in a very bad car wreck. Now, their mama escaped with hardly any injuries at all. Their father, however, lost complete use of his right hand. And that injury and his inability to work and function normally because of that produced in him a great inner rage. So these kids grew up in a home where there was a lot of screaming and a lot of yelling. And if you are a little child in a home like that, there's a lot of trembling too. Their mother, Joan, knew that they needed a different culture, so she set out to create that in their family. So she started this practice every night around the dinner table. Tell me something that happened that was good today, or something that you saw that was good today. And that became their oasis. It became their sanctuary in a difficult climate to focus on what was positive. And in their book, they have this wonderful line where they say this of their mother. She showed us that optimism is a courageous choice. You see, faith is not pretending bad is good. Faith is believing that because Jesus is Lord, he can bring good out of bad. So in Philippians 1, Paul says that what has happened has actually served to advance the gospel. Paul didn't view himself as a hostage as much as he did as a missionary, as a soldier. Paul deeply desired to go to the city of Rome and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what happened was God brought Rome to Paul. So every new day, a soldier would come and be chained to the Apostle Paul from the palace. Now, in a situation like that, if you're chained to the Apostle Paul, who's chained to who? Paul said he has now preached to every soldier in Caesar's palace, and the gospel has saturated that place. That was not the way that Paul planned to do it. That was how God did it. And then he says in verse 19 of chapter 1 that what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. And that's stunning to me as I read that. You need to understand when he said that, he doesn't know if his story is going to end in vindication or execution. He doesn't know if they're going to let him out of prison or send him to the gallows. When he said that, he doesn't know if he's going to live or die. But Paul said, so what? If they let me out of prison, I'm going to preach Christ. If they execute me, I'm going to meet Christ. Win-win. Every single day, we have opportunities to give the world the witness of how people can rejoice even when it looks like they are losing. Because listen to me, the roast is going to burn sometimes. So what? Eat something else. The car, it's going to break down. So what? That's what cars do. Find another way to get there. And the preacher is going to preach a bad sermon every now and then. So what? Get him on a plane, send him to Hawaii for a few weeks. He will come back refreshed and preach better than ever. The economy is going to go up. The economy is going to go down. Companies are going to downsize. So what? Jesus said, if you seek my kingdom first, I'll provide all of your needs. People are going to come into your life. People are going to walk out of your life. So what? The Father has said, I will never abandon or forsake you. Cancer is going to leave. Cancer is going to come back. So what? When Jesus returns, you're going to get a body that nobody is ever going to put a needle in again. You're never going to have a pill again. You're never going to have to visit an emergency room again. Life is hard, but Jesus is our Lord. And circumstances are often out of our control, but joy never is. So I will rejoice. Paul says, because of this, I will rejoice. And Paul is not saying that he would have chosen what he was going through. He's saying that nothing is going to keep me from choosing joy. They could not shackle his hope. They could not confine his faith. They couldn't incarcerate his worship. They could not chain his confidence. Whatever happens. You see, Paul didn't have to wait and see how everything would turn out to see how he should respond. That was good. I'm going to say that again. Paul did not have to wait to determine the outcome so that he could know what he should do. Because his joy isn't based on a result. It's based on a relationship. And we've all been there. You go to the wedding and the minister says the couple is going to stay back for some pictures, and everybody leaves to go to the reception, and the couple is supposed to show up shortly after they take some pictures. That is what Jeff and Rebecca Payne did. Everybody left, went to the reception hall. They stayed back to take a few more pictures. This happened about a year ago in Ohio. So they got in their car, and they were going to head back to the reception hall after the pictures, but there had been a car wreck. And while everyone else was waiting for them at the reception, they are stuck literally in a traffic jam, and their car doesn't move for an hour. But the neat thing was, somebody noticed that she was wearing a wedding gown and he was wearing a tuxedo. Somebody rolled down their window and kind of got their attention and said, "Hey, did you guys just get married?" And they said, "Yeah, we did." And they're all just beginning to talk there. And so one of the people finds Spotify, gets her favorite song on the radio, blares it, and her new husband on the freeway have their first dance. You know what? Sometimes you don't get to dance where you wish you were. You just have to decide you're going to dance right where you are. Or as Paul puts it, much better, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. And Paul could rejoice whatever, because he wasn't rejoicing in the what. He was rejoicing in the Lord. You can't chain the whatever life. People all around us are living this life. I have friends that have endured incredible hardship, but are still putting all of their hope, all of their trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord. When Christ is everything, you can get through anything, because the what ever life stays on mission no matter what. Paul was not preoccupied with his circumstances. He was preoccupied with exalting Christ, whatever his circumstances were. He knew that he could seek the kingdom first wherever he was, whoever he was with, whenever he wanted, whatever he was going through. And we can too. We can be the kind of people the world desperately needs to see. A people that know how to rejoice even when it looks like we're losing. We don't need a perfect environment to live for a perfect Savior. If you love classical music, you might be familiar with the genius of Itzhak Perlman. Stricken with polio, he wears braces and needs crutches to get on a stage for any performance. Some years ago, according to the Houston Chronicle, he was on a stage in New York City, and just as the music began, the audience heard a very loud pop, and one of his four strings on his violin had busted. Now, it wasn't so far into this musical performance that they couldn't have stopped and started over by giving him a different instrument, but Itzhak Perlman improvised. He let the conductor know to keep going. Now, some of the notes he could find on the three strings he had left, and some of the notes he couldn't. So he just began to brilliantly create a new piece of music that could still work within the music that was already playing. And the audience realized what they were watching was genius in the moment. And when the piece was through, they burst to their feet and applauded him. And finally, he motioned for them to be quiet. And Itzhak Perlman addressed the audience and he said, "It is the task of the artist to create beautiful music with whatever he has left." Paul said it even better than that. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. The world needs us to live this way. The world needs to know that joy is possible even when life is hard. The world needs people who don't depend on a score for their joy. And you can be that people. Whatever.